daughter seeks out the itinerant prophet, only to see a religious outcast marginalized by people like the synagogue leader, desperately pushed through crowds and interrupt his last hope of saving his daughter so that she herself can find wholeness and healing. It's an incredible tale. And I think at different points, I think you might be able to relate to all of the different people who are presented. Have you been in a crowd, perhaps, when you've been at a, when someone's just died and you start to wail and you think, "Oh, it's normal that most people do not get raised." So the idea that Jesus could come and say, "Oh, gosh, he's just asleep," and they laughed because who comes back from the dead? Et cetera, Jairus' determination and desperation, the woman's desperation, and Jesus' confidence is, I think, stark. So what is the point, and why did we get you to read this on such a morning when we're considering the God of wonders? Well, ultimately, the God of wonders is going to work through the people of God. The people of God have got to understand that we live by faith and not by sight. So in the Gospel of Mark, he forges a close link between faith and struggle. Faith is concretely epitomized when the one seeking a miracle encounters a barrier which is subsequently overcome by determined struggle. So what does faith look like? It looks like pressing through. It looks like, it looks like the guys on the roof trying to drop their mate inside the house. He's paralytic or paralyzed, and Jesus is in the meeting. They can't get to him, so they have to create a hole in the roof for him to come through. And then, so faith is creating an opening so that the man can be kind of in front of Jesus. It's faith looks like Bartimaeus. As Jesus is walking by later on in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, Jesus is walking by and Bartimaeus starts to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Bartimaeus has to struggle with people telling him to be quiet, the hubbub and noise. And somehow, because he kept going, Jesus says, "Call him." In other words, it's easier, as I've said before, it's easier to get healed in Matthew than in Mark. In Mark, it's kind of like there's struggle. You've got to fight. You've got to edge your way through. And, of course, there's no greater picture of that than the woman herself, I think, just struggling through and how to get there. Mark's trying to tell us that barriers need to be overcome if miracles are to be received. Mm-hmm. Barriers need to be overcome if miracles are to be received. So is Mark's primary concern is to highlight the importance of faith. And this, you know, when the woman interrupts Jesus on the way, remember now, if you're Jairus, you're thinking, great, I don't know who this prophet guy is, but they say he heals people. And now I've got him coming to my house because I've tried everything else. And this little girl, my girl is dying. And he's secured Jesus, and he's starting to walk towards his house when this woman gets in the way by pressing into Jesus herself. But that incident highlights two things. One, it highlights Jairus's shaky belief, and it highlights the woman's strong faith. Jairus needs to be propped up by Jesus. Don't worry, believe. The woman has already got what she needs by pressing through the community that would reject her, didn't want to know her, who had isolated her because of her difficulty for 12 full years. She overcomes both she overcomes her difficulty to make it to where Jesus is. She embodies faith and struggle. So I wonder, what faith challenges are you facing right now? What are those? I'm sure some of you got to that point in the conversation. And if we'd had an hour, we might have got there. But some of us may may have found it difficult to even talk like that. Perhaps, you know, responding to God when he speaks to you about giving money away might be a faith struggle for some. Maybe it's the idea that we need to text a friend and check in how they're doing. You don't know them that well, but you kind of know them. Maybe they're an acquaintance in the church and you just feel like you're feeling prompted to do it, but you say, oh, I just don't know them well enough. Maybe I shouldn't do it. And you talk yourself out of it. Maybe it's to take a meal round to somebody who lives on the street. Maybe it's to pray for somebody. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's to make a phone call. I don't really know what the faith struggles are. Maybe really, though, it could be to do with believing God for a miracle. Maybe the story that my story when my first wife, Helen, died, was that we were trying to live in the tension of living in faith while struggling with the onset of cancer. And this struggle of trying to remain in a faithful space and that tension of believing and yet visibly seeing Helen beginning to atrophy and waste away was a difficult space to be. But it was the only space where we found peace.
Mm.
Declarations born out of some level of arrogance that said she will be healed when God hadn't told us that she'd be healed, which seemed like inappropriate. And defeatism that just said, she will die, that's the end of it, cancer wins always, also seemed too much of a defeat.
Mm.
So we tried to walk in the middle. We tried to walk in the place of peace and the place of faith, which said, even if she dies, God's still capable of raising her. And I don't know where you are with perhaps people you know in the church or in your family or in your neighborhood. And people have given up. Maybe people have stopped praying. Maybe you have stopped asking for prayer because after all this time, nothing's happened. I just want to encourage you again, just one more time. One more time. People who are operating in peace can pray for you in peace. They can pray and impart something that is not overt triumphalism, nor is it pessimistic defeatism. There's reality to face. The greatest reality of all in the end of the day is that Jesus is alive. And he is the one who has defeated sin and Satan and death and hell. And so we maintain a place of faith and confidence. And we trust in that truth rather than submit ourselves to what our eyes tell us and what the facts demonstrate, which is this situation is intractable. If that was the case for all time, then that woman who had the issue of blood would never have got out of her house that day and pressed through to see Jesus. How would we have counseled her? How would we have pastored her that day? Hey, look, don't risk it. You'll get rejected there. But she knew that she had to press through. She just knew that God would welcome her. Well, I think so. Although I think when Jesus turned all his attention onto her in front of a big crowd, I think that might have been a bit of something she might have been fearful of. But she overcame that too and explained who she was. The little girl comes back to life, runs around, and Jesus says, give us something to eat. I love Jesus. I love him more than I love anything else or anyone else. And my hope and confidence still rest in him because he can do things that people don't expect. And Christians, though we've been Christians for a long time, we've been people of faith perhaps for a long time, Jesus can do things that we do not expect or that we've forgotten how to ask for. And I want to encourage you to press through to see the God of wonders break out in your world again, to see the gift of tongues, to see the release of prophecy and the discernment of spirits, the embracing of your DNA as a child of God. You have been born from above by the Holy Spirit. You cannot even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You are producing fruit in keeping with the Spirit. Why is it that we can't operate in the gifts of the Spirit when so much else is going on? Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, let's reach into, again, our own history and the stories that we remember. We need some new stories. We need some new stories that start from today into next week, so that by next Sunday, we're coming expecting God to move again. The God of wonders could invade our meeting again next Sunday, our midweek meeting this week, but he will do it through his people. And if you are willing to let that wind of the Spirit blow again and the fire of God begin to get stirred and fanned into flame, then who knows what might happen amongst us? You say, well, we're on Zoom. Yeah, I know we're on Zoom, but it doesn't matter. It's like God can reach into those situations that you know about, into your own heart, and God can deliver us even today from fear and probably unbelief. Lord, help us. Let's respond together now. I want to come to a conclusion and allow Catherine to lead us into a time of response and praying together. Catherine.
Thanks, Alan. So, we're going to pray and open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. I'm quite challenged by asking God to help me see the simplicity of really believing him. One of our children shared earlier on, the eraser to erase your worries. It's just really simple thought. And then Jesus says in this passage, don't be afraid, just believe. And of course, sometimes we think, well, that's harder, you know, it's easier said than done and all that. But there is a simplicity to it, a childlike faith. So we're going to ask God. You might be thinking, what is my struggle? What's my barrier to being able to take a step forward? Maybe there's fear, anxiety, maybe there's unbelief, maybe there's apathy. But let's respond, as Warren said, God's deep love for us as a perfect father. We can come in simplicity as children and grasp the straightforwardness of responding. So let's open our hands and our hearts to Father God and ask him to speak to our spirits.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we stand and sit before you. We come to you as children. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us in our hearts now to respond to you in a simplicity, childlike faith and simplicity, that you are a good father to us. You do call us to believe. Lord Jesus, we say we believe you. You are a God who can bring change to our hearts, to our situation, to our family, to our street, to the people we know within church and within work. And God, as we think now of our situations, I pray you drop into our thoughts actions that we can take, prayers that we can pray, people that we can contact that will draw us to step out of our fear or out of our anxiety, out of our unbelief, and take a step of faith. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to hand back to Chris.
Recording stopped.